My name is Edward Guy Cox. My father was Edward Cox. He was a coal miner and later a coal inspector. My mother's name is Dorothy Wilson. My father's family came from Little Preston and my mother's family came from Swillington House. And my mother was born at the South Lodge, Swillington Park. Virtually all the rest of the family lived in the village. My grandfather, he was a gardener at Swillington House. He worked on the Lowther estate.
And your dad was a miner, and what about his dad?
My grandfather, Alfred Cox, worked at Primrose Hill Colliery, which was an eel shaft. And my father worked at Flately Beck Colliery, which was the original colliery which Lowther sunk prior to the Victoria Colliery at Alton Bywater. I've no brothers and sisters, I'm just the only one. I grew up in Swillington, yes, during the war, dig for victory. I went to school at the age of 3 to Swillington Infant School because they were building the houses on Springwell Avenue. And I managed to climb right up all the scaffolding and finish on the scaffolding round the chimneys. And the gentleman who lived down here, Mr. Fisher, he's dead now, he was the man that fetched me down.
You climbed up, but you couldn't get down?
Well, I'd climbed up, and everybody, at 3 years old, everybody were that beside themselves. I'd actually got up there, that he was foreman joiner on that job. And he went straight up and brought me back down. I probably would have got down on my own.
From that time, what do you remember then about the railway at Woodlesford?
I can always remember the Midland Railway that ran through Woodlesford to Leeds. One of the highlights was to hear a double-headed coal train setting off from Waterhead Colliery. This was usually two Stanier 280 freight locomotives and 120 full coal wagons, and it used to throb away up to Sturton sidings and you could hear it all the way.
And where were you then? Did you go down to the railway?
No, that was here in the village in Swillington, in our garden. And you could hear them cracking away, right away from Waterhead, right up to certain sidings. A marvellous sound.
And how did you know what type of engines they were?
Usually they were always 280s. I mean, you used to go down and see them. But you could always tell a Stanier engine, because Sir William Stanier, he was the deputy mechanical engineer of the Great Western. And when he came to the LMS, the valve events were right, they weren't wrong, and you could always tell a Stanier engine. I could ride a bike when I was 5. There was no traffic on the roads. There was a B&S bus once an hour. Bullock and Sons, they were red buses. And a West Riding bus once an hour. B&S was on the hour, and the West Riding was on the half hour. And the only thing you ever saw on the road other than that were tanks on tests from Powlers at Unslet. And occasionally, probably, a military vehicle. The only other cars you ever saw was doctor's cars. The Dr. Saville or Dr. Matheson.
And was the road tarmac then?
The road was tarmac, but it was terribly chewed up with the tanks. They used to run from Unslet to Bramham Crossroads.
So that's during the war when the tanks came up. So they came down through Alton and then up Swillington Hill.
Yes, yeah, they came along Leeds, up Leeds Hill, down to Alton Lodge, and then through Alton Woodlesford, and up through Swillington, Garforth, Haverford, up to Bramham Crossroads. I mean, it's hard to understand these days. There just weren't any traffic. So the only way you got was either on a bicycle or walked. So at the earliest opportunity of having a bike, off you went.
And did you go off on your own, or did you go off with your mates?
Well, there used to be three or four of us, you know, probably more. Ride down to the canal and watch the steam tugs marshalling the tom puddings up, where they used to have to pull the chimney down to go under the bridge and then put it back up again. Enormous big steam tugs, which you'd take probably, I don't know, 40 tom puddings off the way down the river. And the coal from open cast sites, there were a few open cast sites, that was all tipped into, with lorries in a chute, into these tom puddings. Then there was Water Egg, they had a wharf. Savile had a wharf, Metley Savile. Waterloo had a wharf. And all up and by water, all on the river, yeah. And everything used to either go in a railway wagon or in the tom puddings.
So as far as I understand it, there used to be a place where they put coal, yeah, right next to the bridge over the canal.
Yeah, Swillington Stays. That's what it was known as. And there used to be two chutes there. And I remember when, you know, when I was young, you used to go down there and watch the steam tugs and watch the lorries tipping the coal into the chutes. And then we used to go up to Applegate then. That's a bit further on than the Woodlesford Church. And we used to wait for the Middle and Compounds. The 130 Express into Leeds used to be double-headed Middle and Compounds, two together. And there's many a time we used to climb down the line, put a penny on the line, and then scramble back up and wait for it coming. And it had run over the penny, and if everything was all right, then like no traffic, we'd nip down and get the penny, and it'd be about three times as big as it was when we put it on.
How do you know that they were called Midland Compounds? Were you reading about them in books at the same time?
Well, yes, you took an interest in all the different classes of engine. Midland Compounds, they were two high pressure and a single low pressure, whereas some of the others were two low pressure and one high pressure. But they were the Midland Star turn at that time on that particular route. But having said that, it just showed that Stanier was very understanding, because he had produced some marvellous locos which they could have probably used, but they still use these Midland Compounds for that particular one.
Can you tell us more about that train? What colour was it and how many carriages were there?
They were always painted red, usually lined out in gold, both engines, with the LMS number, enormous number, right across the back of the side of the tender. And usually it was the carriages themselves, they were painted red. They were painted red, and there used to be usually nine carriages on that particular train.
Were you a train spotter? Did you write those numbers down?
Oh, yes, I've still got my books. I used to go down to Woodlesford Station, and it was sixpence return to Leeds from Woodlesford Station. It was at that time, like, there were Lancashire and Yorkshire 242 tank engines that run the passenger service to Leeds, and it used to cost us sixpence to go there and back. And you used to ride in on the behind the old Lancashire and Yorkshire 242s, and then spent some time both at Leeds City Station and Central Station, and then we used to get a threepenny return up to Holbeck, because there were still stations at Holbeck. There was Holbeck low level and Holbeck high level. And I spent it all day transporting. Yeah.
And you caught the train back to Woodlesford when you finished?
And then come back to Woodlesford on the train and walk home.
And how old would you be, do you think, when you were doing that?
From 10 years old, I would say. Probably before, 8 years old. 1944 onwards.
What other trains can you remember going through Woodlesford?
There used to be a lot of goods trains, both loose-coupled coal trains and steel and that sort of thing. Then there were perishable goods trains, all that sort of thing. I mean, a lot of parked goods trains were pulled by the top class express engines because it was filled and it had to be got from A to B as quick as possible, in as large a, you know, as large amounts as they could possibly do. I mean, I've seen a Midland 060 with 140 empty wagons behind it coming down from Leeds and dropping wagons off at each colliery, so many off at each colliery on the way down. I mean, nowadays you'd never see a Midland compound 4P with 140 wagons behind it. They'd have a fit. You know.
What about the other expresses? Can you remember what times they went through?
There was a Waverley that used to come up usually mid-afternoon, usually pulled by a Royal Scot. 4-6-0 three-cylinder Royal Scot, or a Stanier Jubilee, which are also a three-cylinder engine. And occasionally you might get a Princess, which was a four-cylinder engine.
So you saw Princesses at Woodlesford, did you?
Yeah, they'd come through, yeah, occasionally, not often, but you would get a Princess. In fact, I've seen Duchesses. I've actually seen a double-headed Duchess Express come through Woodlesford. And, of course, at that time, there was a large network. And, of course, if there was engineering work going on somewhere, they could always divert them a different way. So when you went train spotting, you could expect anything, especially on the Midland line, that Midland line.
Did you have much to do with the station staff?
Oh, no. Well, there used to be a couple of porters and station master and a chap that used to take the parcels out with an awesome cart. They didn't bother you much. You know, if you behaved yourself, they didn't bother you.
So you hung about on the station then?
Yeah, we used to sit on the seat, two or three seats up there. You could sit down, you know, seats that hold about four or five people at Woodlesford and all the nice gardens and everything. Nobody ever stopped you. I know you used to have to buy a platform ticket. That was a penny.
At Woodlesford?
Yeah. Oh, you had to buy a platform ticket wherever you went. And it used to be a penny. And the machine was just outside the booking office. Or if there were no tickets in the machine, you used to go to the booking office and they'd give you a ticket, you see. Yeah.
Did you ever go in the signal box?
No, I never went in the signal box. I suppose if you know the signal man like, you'd have been all right, but we didn't know him, so we didn't go.
Can you remember what the state of the station was? Was it well kept and was it painted?
Oh, right, it was immaculate. In those days, you see, people, they appreciated having a job. And everything was kept as it should be. In the 60s, everything, well, late 50s, 60s, everything deteriorated. Nobody seemed to have that pride in having everything looking right. Altered, though, you know. I mean, you saw filthy engines never been cleaned for probably 6 months. You saw filthy buses. Everything just... The standards dropped for some reason.
But before that, they kept everything clean and painted everything.
Yeah.
What colour was the station painted, can you remember?
That, like a chocolate brown. Mainly chocolate brown and cream. The carriages used to be chocolate brown and cream. They're actually a new colour scheme under British Airways. See, British Airways, like all nationalised industries, they want it to be different. They want it to be different to what the standard for had been. And so you found a lot of different colour schemes. But basically, round here, it was chocolate cream, chocolate brown and cream. Same with locos. You'd get engines painted all sorts of colours.
Can you remember what kind of things were going on the station? Was there much activity in the goods yard when you were there?
When you think about it, Armitage has had a siding. They brought these grindstones. They used to manufacture big grindstones out of Woodlesford Quarry and certain other types of stone, sawn stone. And of course, all the collieries had sidings into the onto that line, and the brewery had a siding. And at that particular time, in the 1940s, they actually had a tank engine there, which used to do the shunting. They obviously had at least two porters, station master, at least two shunters, signalman. I said, there'd probably be and then the people in the ticket office and that sort of thing, there'd probably be about 9 or 10 people had worked there. And there was a nice coal fire in the waiting rooms, and toilet facilities, everything like that. All the things that are banished today.
I've seen a photograph of a goods shed.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, oh yes. That was situated on the downline, coming from Normington. There was a double siding, and that then there was a one siding went into the goods shed. It was a fair sized shed. They used to keep a four-wheel dray and a horse. Goods were delivered by horse and cart to Woodlesford and Alton and Swillington, you know.
Did you travel further afield than Leeds? Did you go in the opposite direction to Normington and Wakefield?
Well, I used to go to Normington. I used to go down to Normington on bike and sturt and sheds. And I used to go to York. York were a big shed. You know, you could see a lot of top-class, top-line locomotives there. Yeah. You used to go on a train to York. Okay. Half a crown return.
So did you have much to do with Woodlesford Station as you grew older?
No, not really. Once you got working, you see, your time was taken up with work, and when you got home on a night, you didn't always feel like going anywhere. You used to go from Woodlesford to Scarborough and Bridlington. I mean, we're talking about the days when there were no cars. You used to go on holiday to Blackpool, but you usually went into Leeds on the bus and went to the central station and joined a queue of thousands, literally, to set off on holiday, and every platform would be full of specials, and you'd all get in, there'd be non-corridor coaches, you know, and then you'd set off, and you used to go in stages. You'd go so far and finish up in a siding and somebody else would pass you, and then you'd go a bit further and then they'd be in a siding, you'd pass them. And finally you'd get to Blackpool, and there were three stations at Blackpool, and they'd all be full of, absolutely packed with trains and people. Yeah, fantastic, yeah.
Do you have any memory of ever seeing the type of engines that used to go into Leeds Central? In other words, the London and North Eastern type of engines coming through Woodlesford?
Very, very rarely. Very rarely you saw a North Eastern engine on the Midland line. You might see a B one occasionally. They bought most of Riddle's austerity engines to 8 hours, and you'd probably see them because there were a lot stationed at Wakefield. But apart from that, the Derby Midland engines, LMS.
And were there many passengers using Woodlesford, do you think?
Oh, yes. Oh, aye. Always used to be early morning trains. The platform would be full. You know, not just 200 or 300 people. There'd be 200 or 300 people waiting for the train, you know, to go to work or whatever.
And did people go down from Swillington to catch the train?
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, quite a lot of people, yes. Because it's not a bad walk, like. And at that time, when there were nothing else, well, you had to do.